You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
Poison Rana.
First time in a long time, but back like I never left. Taking each day as it comes, you know me, I don't read ahead. Watch me burn down everything, BDE on the TV set. When I'm in control on the road, you can never really know what's up next.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Braden Harrington here with Davey Portman for Up Next. You found us at postwrestling.com in whatever podcast app you're listening to. And it's Wednesday, October 29th, 4:13 p.m. Eastern Time.
And we are live on youtube.com/postwrestling. Yes. Hello, YouTube room. How are we doing? Braden, you know, been watching a lot of baseball recently. They keep on telling me that the game starts at 8 o'clock. It's 8 o'clock. There's national anthems. There's some old guy throwing a ball. There's a parade. There's
Jonas Brothers.
It's like 8:21 and 30 seconds when the show starts. So I'm okay with this 4:13 p.m. on a Wednesday start for our usual 10:05 Tuesday night review.
Look, I'll admit, I'm the kind of person that, like, I can be late sometimes, but when it comes to like a movie, when I buy tickets to a movie, I'm like, oh, I got to be there. I got to make sure, even though now you have to reserve tickets. Mm. And then I sit there and there's still 20 fucking minutes of commercials and
trailers.
I like the trailers, not so much the commercials, but yes, better late than never. We are here. We won't give up on you. And you know why. We're going to talk about NXT. We're your NXT friends.
Friends.
Right here. And we weren't going to give up. Okay, look. We're not going to give up like the city of Toronto and the Toronto Blue Jays are not going to give up without a fight. And we didn't go live yesterday because, the Jays are doing really well. They're in the World Series and our city is going pretty crazy. And if you've been listening to other shows such as John Away, they feel the same way. So our city wrestling can wait a little while. So we've decided not to just abandon the show, but to still talk about some NXT from last night and whatever else is going on. I know we just did a show on Sunday where we were also talking about the Jays and everything with our Halloween Havoc review. But we still, even though maybe a hangover, Halloween hangover edition of NXT up next today, but we're still here and thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you. I was hoping to be live at 3:30 today, but my train was delayed over an hour. So been hustling to get this going on time.
Trains, and automobiles.
Let's not waste any more time. We've got some plugs to get out of the way first. You and I have been very busy these last few weeks getting into the spooky spirit for our Patreon. It's our favorite time of year with reviews. And yeah, on our Patreon, we've had quite a few spooky reviews, starting with last week, our latest episode of Up Yours, where we went to our world champion, our family member patrons pick, Chris Price, who picked The Black Phone, starring Ethan Hawke.
Yes, let us grab you like Ethan Hawke in The Black Phone. I know the new one, Black Phone 2, they cut the out of Black Phone now. It's just Black Phone now.
Oh, okay.
Cooler. It's cleaner, you know? But we reviewed the original, and this was a ton of fun talking all about this horror movie and heel Ethan Hawke. But if spooky things are up your alley, then this month is totally it, because we just reviewed that. We reviewed Kevin Bacon being a heel. It's big heel month for some of our favorite baby faces. But Hollow Man, maybe a movie you recognize, maybe not. We've had some interesting DMs since dropping this review. People are like, I know this movie. I thought I was crazy that this movie existed. Yeah, it does. And we reviewed it 25 years ago. Hollow Man, the Invisible Man, but Hollow Man. So that was a fun review. And then maybe one of the biggest reviews that we've dropped just today, I've put out on our Patreon, Psycho. Yes, that's right. The 1960 Alfred Hitchcock original slasher. Davey and I talk all about this movie, talking about flushing toilets, showers, private detectives with silly names. And
Hitchcock cameos, death.
Hitchcock.
Ed Gein himself.
That's right.
Alternative endings.
We get all mad in this one for sure. So this one's up there. This is a classic. So this was a ton of fun to watch and talk about this iconic movie. So tons of scary movies up your alley. And if the scariest of all wasn't even these movies, the scariest was the retro Halloween Havoc that we did from 2000 WCW. Oh my God, what a show. If you're going to trick or treat this Halloween, do yourself a favor and watch either the Multiverse of Sting match, as I call it, or the Vampiro versus Mike Awesome, which may be a classic. I don't know. Maybe they just weren't ready for it yet.
Some people are saying that this is our best review ever.
Ever? Wow.
We've been getting a lot of feedback on this one. We go almost 3 hours reviewing this horrible, horrible show.
It's almost like they like when we're tortured.
Get broken and lose the will to live. But I think it made for a really fun review. So whether you've seen this event, plan on seeing this event or not, I suggest you give it a listen on our Patreon.
Of course. Oh, yeah, guys, love the review. It was great. It had me howling when it's like us just complaining about backstage assault and WCW. Mm-hmm. That sounds weird if you don't say WCW backstage assault, but that's WWF, I guess. But yeah, what a review that was. That was a pretty crazy one. And then we do things for free. We like tradition. And if you're a Halloween head, and maybe you're not a subscriber to the Patreon, first of all, why not? $5 to sign up. Check it out. But hey, if you like free things, we like you too. And before Halloween, I think I'll drop this at midnight, meaning it'll be in your feeds, hopefully, for Halloween, or maybe even a little earlier, because we're going to record it later today, actually. We got to finish this show to review our free review of Halloween. But this year, we're looking at Resurrection. Knock, knock. Trick or treat. Motherfucker.
Don't call it a homecoming, it's a resurrection. We'll be recording this one later today. This is one of our favorite traditions we have up next. Every single Halloween we review one of the Halloween films. We've got on to the 8th installment. This one is actually the last finale of the original timeline before things get crazy wonky in the Halloween universe. So looking forward to this. We'll be talking about Busta Rhymes, Tyra Banks, retcons, and continuity errors. So all that to get into.
Yes, this has been fun. Like, if you've not checked out our past Halloween reviews, again, they're back in the catalog of our Poisonrana free feed. But we've gone through every year reviewing Halloween from the start, John Carpenter, through all the sequels leading up now to last year was H2O, and now this one where Laurie dies. Spoilers, sort of. They pull a Psycho. The main character dies in the first few minutes, kind of thing. But yeah, finally get to talk about this ridiculous movie. Like, how was this was so bad that they canceled the franchise. That's how bad this one is. But it's got Busta Rhymes, so hear our review out later on the free feed. It's going to be a lot of fun talking about that. So hopefully you're having a happy Halloween week, month, whatever. Enjoy. Or you're at, like us and the rest of the city of Toronto, not so spooky, much more baseball oriented with the whole World Series and everything. But no matter what, hope you're having a fun October.
So there's lots of ways to support us there. If these shows sound interesting to you, go to patreon.com/poisonrana and sign up. It's only $5 a month. We have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of reviews that you'll get access to right there. And subscribe to our free feed. Just search Poisonrana in your podcast app and you'll find that. All of that helps us. All of that supports us. Give us a like. Give us a subscribe to our YouTube, Poisonrana Pod. Or if you're in this feed right now and you like what you're hearing, you can always give us a super chat as well.
Absolutely. Appreciate all the listeners, postmarks worldwide. I know the wrestling never stops. The wrestling is always on. Every weekend there's wrestling. There's this and that. And then WWE tweets out some cryptic shit, and it's a bunch of shoes. And then I see cowboy boots, and I thought, oh my God, finally, Jimmy Wang Yang is coming back to the, oh no, wait, it's Brock Lesnar playing poker with CM Punk.
Yeah, just all the people that have been feuding a lot are just sitting down having a game of poker. Yeah, this was disappointing. I think people like these cryptic videos, people like speculating who's coming back, who's returning, right. What is this? Is this a group or whatever? No, it's just, hey, our really fucking expensive tickets are on sale now. And if you want to take a gamble and hope that the show is better than last year's show in Vegas, give us all your money.
I've seen people talking about the prices and stuff. I watched a video. Was it West Side Gun said he spent like $40K on a suite or something like
that? Ridiculous.
something nuts like that. So, hey, if you're buying tickets, have fun and everything. But holy, it's just that poster. Like, I'm not one to be like, oh, that poster, this and that. But it's like, okay, Brock Lesnar, sure. Right. I guess that means it's telling everyone he's going to be on this show, whether you like it or not. They're going forward with that. But just Triple H and Paul Heyman on it. Like, where's Rhea Ripley? Where's Becky Lynch? Where's Io? Where's why is it these four dudes?
That's the voice.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure there'll be other ones coming. We'll get a women's one where they're all playing cards or something. So
yeah.
Anyways, WrestleMania tickets. Very exciting. Very expensive. Will they be more expensive in Saudi? We'll see.
I don't know, because, yeah, who knows? Who knows with that? Some of those shows, I don't think people even paid for tickets, did they? So I've no idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got Saturday night's main event coming up this Saturday, as you said.
Oh.
It never stops. It never stops. We will get a new world heavyweight champion. Is it CM Punk? Is it Jey Uso? Or Wikipedia right now is listing the match as CM Punk LA Knight. So I don't know if they know something that we don't know, but what is your gut telling you there? Who will be walking out?
No, that's just someone editing what they want.
What they hope, yes.
What they wanted to see. Like, no shade to Jey Uso, but I just don't think this is the right move. I almost feel like the LA Knight story is right there, unless they're holding it off to build to like a bigger story. Like,
well,
we were talking about.
He has kind of said he's got whoever wins this match.
Yeah.
But then was taken out by Bron.
Because I think we said a few weeks ago, like, oh, imagine if it was him and Punk, LA Knight, and then LA Knight, like, turns heel and has the title, which I think would be awesome. Like, finally strike, but would they turn heel? Because he's still popular.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but I kind of would rather see that. I can't say I'm interested in a Jey Uso situation again. But, yeah, I don't know. There's not too much. I did check out some of that stuff. There was the interaction with, what, Cody and... what was the interaction I saw where they were like, oh, was that from Raw? Fuck, what was I watching?
Cody SmackDown. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit brief moment there, but yeah. I'm trying to think, that's what else is on that Saturday night.
So what?
I think Punk is winning.
I think Punk wins, and then that goes towards a Punk LA Knight match down the road, which I think promos alone, that feels a little fresher, a little bit more interesting. We've got Cody taking on Drew McIntyre. I'd kind of like to. This is the time of year where you can kind of drop the title to someone for a little bit, right? Like, it's, and that's why I think LA Knight would have been good. It's like, give him a couple of month reign. Come Rumble season, Mania season, we can get it back on the big guns for Mania.
Yeah.
But is there any chance that Drew McIntyre defeats Cody Rhodes here to win the undisputed WWE Championship?
Like, this feels like a repeat of last year where we're like, Kevin Owens is facing Cody Rhodes. And we were like, fuck it, flip it on him just to do it, just to like make a
shot. It feels like a replay of 2 months ago.
Yeah, literally the last show. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think it would make sense. I don't know if Drew is as hot right now, but still, like, if you did that, that might add some fuel to this fire. I'm not necessarily loving what I've seen from it, but. I didn't like the last match either, actually. I was kind of disappointed with their last match. So,
yeah, me too.
I don't know. I was expecting a lot more. So maybe we do get that this time around. But like last time we had Kevin Owens, the Saturday night's main event, and then it led to the Rumble, which was the ladder match. So I don't know if we're going to drag this out that long, but like looking forward, if you were to book Cody Rhodes goes into WrestleMania as champion again, I would say, would it, like judging on what happens, if CM Punk is already dancing with this other title, I don't know if he would be someone to face Cody in Vegas.
Yeah, I agree. You could do the Punk Roman singles match at Mania next year because we've had the triple threat, but maybe singles with Roman chasing Punk perhaps. But I think the most interesting match you have is Cody and Punk. I think
that's the biggest.
They teased it the last 2 years with the build to the Rumble and all that, and it's felt right. It feels like a main event. It feels spiky between the two. So, but you've got some juggling to do if you are gonna make Punk the champ on Saturday. So, yeah, I do see Cody retaining. I think it would be interesting to just do a couple of months with a Drew Reign, maybe just to shake things up a little bit. But I don't see that's the destination they're going to go.
Oh, I've been left alone, all alone here on the post wrestling StreamYard. But what I think he was saying was that Drew McIntyre is going to lose. I think that's what you were saying. I think you were saying, oh, he attempted to come back in, but that's okay. Yeah. I don't know if Drew's the right guy. So, hello again.
Hey, I don't know what's going on today.
I don't know if Drew should win this one, but at the same time, I do think it would be a little bit interesting. But imagine if you flip-flopped where then Cody could be chasing Punk. Like in the other way around, right? But
yeah, like have Cody drafted to Raw, have him lose this title and go over. We also
I was so scared. I thought you left me.
I don't know what this StreamYard is scaring me today. Been having some issues. It's all looking very weird on my screen right now, but hopefully we can get through this show. I do see the women's championship changing hands though. I do absolutely think we're having Jade Cargill win this title. I think Tiffany's had a pretty long reign as champion, and with the new character shift of Jade Cargill turning heel last week, I think it makes a whole lot of sense to strap her up at this point to like solidify that turn.
I guess so. Yeah, that makes the most sense. I'm not like the Tiffany run doesn't feel like it's as big as maybe it was when she first won it. I feel like the Charlotte thing really maybe still hurt that, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of like today, obviously we have Dynamite and stuff. Are we going to be live this Sunday to talk all about whatever else is going on?
Yeah. I don't know what state we'll be in based on,
that's why I'm saying 10, 6, maybe
7, but,
maybe show tending because
tentatively, yes,
it could be one of the craziest days in Toronto history if they win on Saturday or Friday. So,
Tentatively, we'll be doing a show chatting about Dynamite and Saturday night's main event, but don't hold us to that if things happen.
I promised, shout out the Pork Chops and the podcast, friends of the show, Steve. I promised to do some sort of catch up wrestling chat with our Pork Chops Portuguese wrestling talk show on Sunday at noon. And then I remembered I might be like in a bad state if the city blows up on Saturday night, but I promised that. So, and I got a shout out quickly. I know we got to go, but friend of the show, Al the Lion. If you know, you know. Shout out Robert Pearson. He's doing a movie review series, and I was just invited on, and I know that the episode has dropped or will be dropping, but check out the movie reels, Al the Lion, who's my new best friend, and I jumped on to talk about They Live, John Carpenter. So keeping in the spooky October and my love fest for Roddy Piper, which is a movie we definitely got to review in the near future, but I got to shout that out because Robert obviously has done a whole lot for us here with post wrestling and everything. So we're hoping maybe we can link up with him in November when we go down for Full Gear, which watching NXT today, again, hitting over the Gold Rush thing, I'm like, oh man, how did we, but we're such boneheads that we follow this show. I guess they didn't promote it as much as up until now to maybe, but They still did, but we're like, we didn't even notice.
Hey, I booked my tickets long before this was announced.
Oh, really?
That's on you. Yeah.
No. They announced this show a long, long time ago.
Yeah,
I booked
my flights months ago. Yeah.
But I feel like they just didn't push it as much as they've been doing in the last few weeks, because it was on a schedule like a long, long time ago. I'm like, oh, crap. I didn't realize that. So there will be lots of wrestling in Newark. So
finally, just to round off the preview for Saturday, Dom Penta Rusev IC title.
Oh, nice. I say Dom.
Yeah. Is Dom retaining to defend against Cena? Is Cena going to win that illustrious IC title he's never held?
True. That could be the way.
I could Grand see Slam. Him. Yeah. And I think if he could win this, if the Dom match is first, and then you could do those, I think the timeline works out, the Boston and the New York Raws is where Cena does the open challenge as the IC champion. And then you have his last match with Gunther, I'd say, for that title. That is Gunther's title, the title he's held longer than everyone. I think doing it that way, it allows Cena to have feuds where he's not on TV. Because he's got 4 dates left now. So you can't really build anything. You can't have those promo segments. So it's got to be like the AJ Styles way, which is a tweet. So I think Dom has already been mocking Cena online for the 619. He's like, oh, it's a good job AJ stopped you from hitting that, because it will be on all the Botchamania sites. So I absolutely see John Cena hitting a 619 against Dominic Mysterio and winning that title. And that way you can do your final 3 matches as like open challenge style.
Would definitely love to see the 619. Yeah. He teased it, right?
Oh, yeah.
You didn't see it.
He's got to be practicing. He's got to be. I've seen those photos of him down in the PC. He's got to be practicing.
Yeah. Who do you think he was training with? Javon Evans on the 619? Like, I know Javon doesn't necessarily do it, but he would be someone who.
I don't know. Javon had a few botches at the weekend well, so maybe not.
I saw a photo with Cena with Nikita Lyons. Maybe she's been helping him.
Yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. But yeah, interesting. John Cena's last match against Rey Mysterio's son. Could it be? We'll see. Or Walter. Or sorry, Gunther, as you said. But yeah.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations. The holidays are fast approaching, but why not get your shopping done early and actually enjoy it? Uncommon Goods makes your holiday shopping easy and fun with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. I found this super cool Starry Night Air Fort. It's basically a blow-up fort covered in glow-in-the-dark stars. You just hook it up to a box fan, and in less than a minute, you have this awesome little space for the kids to play, or even for grown-ups to sneak in and have fun. It's lightweight, easy to pack away, and really great for relaxing or imaginative play at home. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting small businesses and artists, and with every purchase, they even give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. So shop early, have fun, and cross those names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/postwrestling. That's uncommongoods.com/postwrestling for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Before we jump in, I see some comments in the chat here from The Psycho. Says, hey guys, been catching up on older reviews this week. I Know What You Did Last Summer and the Star Wars sequel reviews. Glad to catch you live reviewing my birthday edition of NXT. Thank you.
Thanks,
Psycho45. Appreciate you listening to some of our older stuff. That was real old. I know what you did last summer was like in our old apartment, the BDE.
That's got to be a few years ago. Yeah.
Same with the Star Wars, actually, probably. So, yeah. Thank you for listening and catching up. Appreciate and happy birthday here. And I also see Jake in the chat says loneliness is real. I think he's referring to when you left me alone for a few seconds.
Yes.
Or he's just going through it today. So if that's the case, Jake, sending you love from...
For all you lonely people out there, we got you.
And then I see Surin who says, midday stream always makes my workday bearable in the West Coast. Thank you very much, Surin. Appreciate you. In the West Coast, hopefully they're supporting the Jays, not the Dodgers over there in Vancouver. We'll see. So let's talk about some NXT. And we will talk about some NXT from Tuesday, October 27th. And we get a recap of Halloween Havoc and everything that happened on Saturday night, including some title changes, including some title retains, and so much more, including Tatum Paxley winning the NXT Women's Championship. And you kind of see some clips of her and her celebrating. And when she said that this week is going to be crazy, it's going to be a crazy Tuesday night. We see the show opens, though, with Trick Williams, who walks through the back of the performance center here, and he's very upset. He starts to walk through the truck, through the production truck and the production crew. And he says, I'm stopping the show. And he says that he ain't playing, and he wants to talk to Ricky. And he says, I want to beat him like a drum. I want to beat him like a bum. Come out here, Ricky. So Trick is now in the middle of the ring when Ava comes out and she's telling him to stop what he's doing. When the crowd start to chant, Trick got whooped from Halloween Havoc, because he did. He lost. This is when Ricky Saints comes out. He's on the attack and these two start to brawl all over the place. And there's a big pull apart from the jobber cops at NXT PC. And this fight will continue throughout the night. But yes, our big first pull apart between the two. Spoilers, we're going towards a rematch between these two, if you couldn't figure that out. But yeah.
I like this. I like this start to the show. I thought Trick was pretty entertaining in his frustrated tantrum he was having backstage, calling everyone stupid. Get out of my way, stupid. Watch out, stupid. I'm coming for you. I like when shows start this way, like just whether it's kicking off right away with a hot match or just an angle like this. I think it adds a nice energy to kick the show off. And but I was a bit surprised. I thought maybe we would not be seeing Trick around much more. And I did think we'd probably be going in a different direction, but we are rematching this.
Like, is this to give him a proper PC goodbye?
Maybe. They have been known to do that in the past, haven't they?
I think so, because this one is announced in 2 weeks. I don't think they said New York. I think this is the week before.
No, they said 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I do think this might be Trick's swan song, but we'll get back to that. We get a insert video promo for, oh boy, I'm excited, the Speed Men's Tournament continues, and we're in the finals now. Never mind the World Series. Are y'all keeping up with the Speed Men's Tournament on NXT TV? Because here in the finals, it's Axiom taking on Jasper Troy. Axiom says he's really fast. He's got things down by the number. And then when it comes to Jasper Troy's promo, he says, I'm going to snatch you out of the sky. There's no counter for power. As we go into this match, Vic and Book remind us this is LFG season one winner here from Jasper Troy. And Booker T, what was he talking about? Something about his hair I have written down, and my spell check messed it up, but something about Booker. Booker T was saying something, as he always is. This is Axiom trying to jump around on Jasper here, but it's not affecting him. Finally, there's a backbreaker, and then just these clubs here, and then a really dull looking headbutt. But then Axiom tries to come back with a minute left now and does a jumping drop kick, but kind of knocks him down. And then he goes up top again, but gets caught in the air. He's dropped down with a body slam, and then he's put in the black hole slam with 5 seconds left. Jasper Troy wins the speed tournament. And yeah, he goes on for the speed title. But this was more of a speed trap for me. This was exactly what happened last week. with the, or the whatever happened with, Wentz. Nash Carter? Wentz. Yeah. Like, okay, Axiom, jump around a little bit. And this wasn't even like, I don't even think Axiom was like, I'm not doing any of my serious shit if this is what I'm getting. Like, I thought Jasper Troy has looked the exact same since we've seen him.
Yeah, Axiom at least was working with a bit of urgency, was doing the stick and move. Like, I, as I've said multiple times about this kind of gimmick, you have to play the urgency of the clock. You have to wrestle in a different way. And it's just, and as you said, Axiom wasn't even bouncing around quite as much as we're used to seeing him. I don't get why you would create like a speed championship, which essentially is kind of, I know you've had like Bron Breakker in this and things like that, but it's kind of like a cruiserweight title, right? It's
right, the 205 title.
The idea of this this gimmick, this title, should be, hey, we're going to give you a 3-minute high octane speedy match where you're going to see a lot fitted into that time. And I think people like Fraser, Axiom, a Johnny Gargano, even like it's people like that, you know, you can trust, you give them 3 minutes and they're going to make every single second count. Why is Jasper Troy in this tournament? Like, I don't see it. Like, I didn't finish that season of NXT, but I just don't see what it is these people are seeing in this guy. I think his look is awful. I think his moveset is outdated and just boring. His promo has been stale. There's no real character about this man apart from he's big and scary. And I think you need a lot more in a monster. We've also seen him lose a few times. I think if you're presenting your new monster, you've got to build up that aura and mystique about them and not have them wrestle all the time necessarily. Have a mouthpiece for them. But we've seen this guy lose to Ricky Saints. We've seen this guy like lose a bunch of times, and now he's just dragging down the little interest I have in this speed tournament. You know, if this match was Wentz versus Axiom for 3 minutes, I'd have been all about that. And and then either of these two against Kaiser, Grande Americano.
But, what do you mean? It's Grande Americano.
But I just feel this Grande Americano versus Jasper Troy doesn't elicit any excitement from me at all.
Like, you remember who he has to face and you're like, oh, why would they do that? So yeah, I this is a big waste of my time, this speed title thing. And this guy hasn't shown anything. Like, as soon as a guy is doing big clubs, like a caveman club, I'm like, all right, learn some wrestling moves.
And it's like, he's big, but it's, I don't know, he's not a giant, you know? You see someone like Omos, who, like, okay, he's been taken off TV for a while. He's been doing the AAA stuff and the Noah stuff, but the guy is fucking enormous, where you're like, I get why this guy is on your roster. There's no mystique about this guy. He's wearing a fucking boiler suit. And, like, not good.
So we go from that, and then we go, so Jasper Troy, I guess, will face Grande. We saw, was it Ryu? Who's the?
Ryu and
the brothers. Yeah.
Alpha or something.
Roy and Bravo.
Rayo and Bravo. Yeah.
We go backstage. Sol Ruka is with Ava. It gets better. If you didn't like the speed tournament you just watched, don't worry, because Sol Ruka, the speed champion, relinquishes the speed title to Ava and says, this division deserves a fighting champion. And Ava says, all right, cool. Zarya is pissed, so she walks off. And Ava says that there's going to be a speed women's tournament next week.
Well, Zarya's pissed because Ava gave her the option to have someone defend it for her. She was like, hey, I know we said we'd talk about this speed championship, but like, we got to talk about it now. Do you want to have someone else defend it, or do you want to relinquish it? And she opts to relinquish it, which you can see the moment, you know, the Ralph Wiggum meme, you can see the moment where Zarya's heart breaks here, because she's like, oh, I could have defended it for you.
But you lost. So
she would rather just give it up than have Zarya lose this title for her, which I like this. I haven't been the biggest Zaruka fan, but I think what they're doing with this story is quite good, because you can see it from both perspectives, and you can see them getting further and further apart, and you can understand why Zarya is a little heartbroken here, because she wants to defend this. She wants to keep this title for a friend, and her friend isn't saying so, but is essentially saying, I don't trust you with this.
So Zarya's just got to destroy her one day.
Yeah.
So, you're supposed to be my friend.
I think this is, I think the stuff with her losing the North American title for Seoul, and then this added wrinkle as well. And we see later in the night that Zarya is going to enter herself into the tournament. I think these are nice little details, and I've turned around on this story, this kind of breakup angle they're doing.
They got to release a Zarya shirt. So it really throws people off.
Yeah.
Like Y2AJ.
On the week that they. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, look, Zaruka's got merch. And then boom, they're broken up. I mean, I guess it's true what they say, Davey. The truth will ultimately prevail, but there is pain bringing it to life.
Always.
Light. Life? Light. I think light. Out comes the new NXT. It's weird having Tatum Paxley with this music. I know she's in this group, but like, could we not get her own music for this? It doesn't fit her at all. Anyways, Tatum Paxley, the new NXT Women's Champion.
Creepy. She's a creepy girl.
She's, but it's not babyface music. It's like brooding, like.
No, but that's the point of her, isn't it? It's like she is this babyface in this faction of heel.
Right. Always works in wrestling, but yes. Tatum comes out with the culling, and she's got a microphone. New champ here. She's glowing. She says, I did it. We did it. The best night of my life, she says. But I won't forget the heartache and all the roads it took to get here. And I know what it's took to get to this spot and get to this title. And I want to show NXT that I am a fighting champion. And that's why, and that's when Izzy interrupts her and is like, yo, what are you talking about? Like, whoa, you don't need to, whoa, you know how hard it is for you to get that title shot? Like, yo. What are you talking about? And Izzy says, yeah, I came up with an idea and I saw some complaints, she says, about Halloween Havoc. So I decided to bring back Spin the Wheel. That's right. Tatum has brought back Spin the Wheel, Make a Deal here. She takes the curtain off and it's all different names of wrestlers that she's going to wrestle tonight for the NXT Women's Championship. And as they go to spin it, Sean Spears points out, hey, Izzy, your name's not on it. And then you get the best acting from Nico, Sean Spears, and Izzy as they all start looking at each other with dirty looks. Tatum spins the wheel and makes a wheel.
Well, Tatum says that, look, we're friends. We shouldn't be fighting. Yeah. That's why I omitted your name, because I don't ever want to fight you, Izzy.
And, well, she spins the wheel and it lands on Lola Vice, mama. And that's who she's going to face tonight. And then they all kind of clap for her. But then, yeah, Sean Spears looking at Izzy like, suspicious.
Big time Baxter in the chat saying, I legit thought HBK was going to screw Tatum Paxley with a 3-day title reign. And today is her birthday.
Yes, it is her birthday as well. Yes. Happy birthday, Tatum Paxley.
I was kind of feeling the same. I think with the constant, thread throughout the show of Izzy being like, this is a bad idea. It reminded me of when Trick Williams won the North American title, and then the very next NXT, he's like, I'm going to defend against anyone. I'm defending this. And Mello is trying to talk him out of it. And what happens?
He
loses the title. So, I thought for me, at least, they did a good job for a little bit of giving me some doubt that this Tatum reign is going to be very long.
I feel two ways about it. I'm really happy for Tatum. We've watched her for quite a while. She's pretty impressive and has been pretty fun. So it's great that she got this title. And I think I'll say, like, I kind of was over the whole JC Jane thing as well. So I think it's a bit of a refresh for that title. But the culling isn't the most interesting stable. So if they're doing all this now to tease that it's going to be Izzy and Paxley, I'm not necessarily like, it's still Sean Spears, and I can't necessarily say this group is like the most interesting, but I'm really happy that it worked out for her. So I kind of want her to split away from them and keep the title and not have Izzy beat her for it.
I'm liking it at the moment. I think this group in a weird way has helped get Tatum over, because she's like, you know, essentially, it's the Sami Zayn in the Bloodline sort of rule book, right? She's the odd one out, and therefore you're rooting for her. And even though she's with a bunch of bad guys, like, she's still a good guy. And I think her promo here was really good. And I think her, she showed a lot in that match with JC, where I think she's come a long way, and I think she will be a great baby face. So I haven't minded this. And I think you're building on the heartbreak of everyone always inevitably leads her. So the split will happen. But yeah, I'm definitely higher on it than you are. I think Tatum's been pretty good.
No, I love Tatum. That's what I'm trying to stress, is like, I think she's great. Like, from what we've seen in wrestling, again, back to the Diamond Mine stuff, like, she's doing submissions and stuff people I haven't seen in a long time. It's great. But her with this group, I'm like, sure, it got her to this title and on TV than what she was doing before, because I think she was with Shotzi and Gigi and everything. But it's like, she's risen to the top, which is great. And they just decided to go with her, which is totally left field, I think, that we were all thinking that way. But she is good. I'm just like, oh, and then it's Sean Spears acting. He's like the worst Bond villain ever to me. And
Spears
I can't get that out of my
very
head.
Much background players in this.
Yeah, but it's his
I
looks.
Told a story
it's
for
his
a while
looks.
This scene.
it's his looks alone that I'm like, you fucking.
Yeah.
Anyways, but it's working. So, hey, Booker T's right. He's the GPS. Put those coordinates in. He's going to get you. He's going to get you there with the chair.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
On the Post Wrestling Cafe this month, John Pollock and Wei Ting sit down for a new edition of Talk. We are also going back to 1992 to look at the G1 Climax from that year. Rich Van and W.H. Park are getting together to review Peacemaker Season 2 and look at Marvel Zombies. Plus, we have Book Club detailing Kamala Harris's new release, 107 Days, weekly editions of Collision Course, and the XL versions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown. All can be found at postwrestlingcafe.com.
We go backstage. Kendall Gray, the Evolve champion, is with Ren Sinclair, and Ren's talking about Ren QCC and how, you know, they're going to be a group and everything. You see Trick Williams running by at this point as well here. He's like still like all like, well, I'm going to fight and Ricky and everything. And I'm looking for Ava and I'm looking for Rick. And he kind of walks off because he's still like wants to fight Ricky. This is where Kendall's getting ready for her match with Lash Legend, and Ren says like, oh yeah, don't worry, it's going to be a gray area for Lash Legend. I think that's the name. Is that what she said last week? It's a gray area.
Yeah, that's a catchphrase.
Yeah.
You're going to take it to a gray area.
And then it's like, hey, we have to talk about the Ren QCC, and Gray is like, no, not now. I have this match for the title, but are you coming out with me? And Ren's like, oh wow. Okay. Yeah, sure. So Ren and Gray are in fact a team, as it's Kendall Gray with Ren taking on Lash Legend. Skirt. Kendall Gray, I think from the quick times we've seen her, only a handful of times on TV in the last year, right away we're like, oh, this girl can wrestle. And I think sooner rather than later, she might become a bigger star. So they should continue using her on NXT like this. But here she is coming out to Generic Guitar 3. That'll soon change too, I think.
I recognize this theme. And at first I was like, oh, it's kind of like the Gallus theme. And then I think,
yeah.
Do you remember when we were doing like Twitch streams and watch alongs and things like that during the pandemic, or just like live playing games, we would have a holding screen. Like if, you know, both of us are like, all right, everyone take five. We're going to the toilet or cook, make some food, have a smoke, whatever. I'm pretty sure it was this music.
This not was, the one I made with the guitar riff. No.
No, there was one with there was one I got from a royalty-free like bank thing.
It's probably where they got this, brother.
And it sounded just like this. And then the guitar screaming and stuff. I'm pretty sure it's the same one or very, very close.
So Lash versus Kendall Gray. Lash is bigger than her, so she's beating down on her. She's putting her in that sleeper where she like starts to swing her around. She's in control here. She's hitting her with different forearms and strikes as Gray starts to fight back and hits a beautiful looking German suplex. And then on the outside, hits this very creative looking DDT as well. Eventually, she gets caught by Lash and dropped down again. Lash goes for something into the corner and Gray jumps out of the way and then hits a jumping flatliner, complete shot.
Yeah.
Right? Downward spiral.
Another DDT.
As what they call, no, this one's more of like the like face front one, right? Like the gold standard or the complete shot. But this one's called, get this, if the gray area wasn't the name for this, the Shades of Gray, they call it. As she picks up the win, beating Lash Legend, and then they celebrate and they do the RenQCC pose.
Yeah.
So the group is complete, the RenQCC.
Yeah, I'm really impressed with Kendall Gray. They keep putting over about how she's only been doing this for 2 years. She does have the like background behind her of amateur wrestling and has won a bunch of stuff pre WWE. But I thought this was one of Lash's better showings as well, because Lash could really play the giant in this match with Kendall being quite small, and I thought she looked better. You know, Lash is hit and miss. Sometimes she's a little ropey, a little botchy here and there, and I didn't see that with this. I do wish she'd get rid of that double dribble in the ropes.
Yeah,
because it never looks good. But yeah, I thought this was pretty decent, and definitely Kendall Gray's one to watch.
Yeah, I would say she's definitely like with the wrestling background, and I don't know. I think they could definitely go forward with her being a staple on NXT. Lash Legend, I still don't know how I feel about now losing like Jakara and everything. I'm just kind of like, what are we doing with her? Are you going to put her on the main roster at this point or push her on NXT? And I don't quite know at this point.
Well, she was rumored for that War Games match as well for the women. So,
oh, interesting. We get an Instagram video from Miles Bourne. He's talking to the camera and he's talking to Tavion, and he says, Tavion, tonight I'm going to face you, but you'll always be my buddy, but I'm going to do whatever it takes to beat you. Tavion is out fishing. And for some reason, crouches down, right? So his crotch is in front of this camera angle and tells us that we are brothers, we are friends, but sometimes brothers got to fight. So that match is coming up.
Yeah, he also said, like, you know, I was out there looking for a match with Josh Briggs, and it's fair enough that you wanted one as well, but kind of take exception to you saying that you are the sole reason that I left NQCC. Like, yeah. I am my own man, and it's not because of you. So a little bit of tension for a friendly match, essentially.
Well, another friendly matchup. Tatum Paxley backstage with her opponent later tonight, Lola Vice. Lola comes up to her, says, hello, mama. It's so funny how she's... I think this alone on the main roster could get her, like...
What I love, though, is she doesn't say it like it's a catchphrase, you know?
It's something she just says.
She just says it like I'm sure she's like this in real life, like calling people mama. Like, we'd mama. Say, like, oh, hey, man, how are you doing? It's like, you know, mama. It's mama. Great. I love it.
I don't know why every time I hear it, I think of Johnny Bravo. Mama. But mama. Mama. Hey, mama. It's funny. She says, thank you for the opportunity. You know, I actually should have won the title, but JC Jane cheated last time. And like, I actually deserve this shot. So I hope you don't mind, but tonight I'm going to knock you out and I'm going to take the title for you. And Tatum's like, oh yeah, yeah. Okay. You think you will, but I am going to retain tonight. And Izzy walks in and is like, I told you, this is not a good idea. You shouldn't be facing her. And this again, like you said, is teasing that happened trick in the past where it's like, oh, are you sure about this? But will that happen? We will see. Now we go to Miles Bourne versus Tavion Heights. Friend v. friend. We get the fist bump of honor to begin here. The former No Quarter Catch Crew friends. As they start to like try to side chain wrestle here, Booker T on commentary says that Tavion Heights passes the airport test. I don't know about that. Of all the wrestlers in NXT, he's not necessarily huge. He's definitely got great hair, though. So maybe that is what he was referring to. I'm not sure.
He's probably pretty big when you see him in real life.
True.
But yeah, I think compared to other wrestlers, he looks like a wrestler.
There's a series of roll-up attempts. So both guys are trying different like pinning attempts to keep each other's shoulders down. And Vic and Book start to mention that there's no punches or strikes here. only side chain wrestling and pinning attempts. Eventually, though, Tavion does hit a running lariat, which looked nice as they go to break. When we come back, Josh Briggs has joined commentary, and he's basically shitting on these dudes. Miles Bourne hits a running up the rope moonsault to the standing Tavion in the ring, a la Shawn Michaels there. Tavion comes back with an ankle lock. There's a snap power slam like Randy from Baby Randy, Miles Bourne. This is when Josh Briggs on commentary with Booker start to pick on Vic and call him a snitch. We've heard Booker call Vic a snitch before. Mm. I don't know what Vic has done, but if anyone needs to snitch on Booker, if he's referring to all the things Booker says on commentary, maybe he's telling Charmel these things. Charmel could just watch the show and see for herself. Josh kind of gets involved here, and he gets up from commentary, and Miles goes for the Bourne again, and it's blocked because Tavion knows his moves. And then Tavion goes for his running belly to belly, but that's blocked because he knows his move. And Miles counters it with an inside cradle and gets the pin here, winning the match from No Quarter Catch Crew to friends. But Miles wins the match. But pretty much right after the match, Trick shows up with a chair, smacks Miles with it, and starts yelling at Ricky to show up. But, before kind of going back to that, a fun little match between these. I don't think it necessarily got to the next level, and it definitely didn't lead me to believe one of these guys would turn on each other, which I think we were kind of expecting maybe Tavion to turn heel at some point. But I don't know. They're still going in the angle of Josh Briggs. So maybe a three-way going forward, I think.
Yeah, I think a three-way makes sense. I thought the match was fine. I thought there was some good stuff in it, but I wasn't particularly excited about it. I wonder if we get I agree with also what we were saying last week. Just, I get you're trying these guys as singles acts, but tag division could really, really do with
these two as a tag team. Yeah. Well.
So, maybe after the Briggs thing, they can be like, hey, maybe we're better together. I wonder as well if maybe next week we have Trick versus Miles, seeing that that's who Trick took out.
We have Deadline, which has the five-man match, so like these three could easily be in this match.
Yeah, I could totally see that,
right? Sure. Like, that's in early December, so I know it's a month away, but if Briggs is dancing with these two and then I don't know, Trick or whatever, you could potentially have all of them in there. But you would imagine Miles wants some revenge from getting attacked.
We'll see.
We get an ad for Gold Rush coming in a few weeks from Madison Square Garden Theater. They have to prefix that. Ethan Page is backstage with Chelsea Green and the Slagents, right?
Well,
just the one Slagent. And they say that this Sunday they have a mixed tag team title match in AAA, and it's going to be muy grande. And this is when Thea Hale walks by and says, say his name and he appears, Joe Hendry. I believe in Joe Hendry. And Joe Hendry pops out of the trash can. And basically kind of scares them and says like, oh, you guys are a bunch of assholes, pretty much is what he said. But they go, it doesn't matter what you have to say. You're like, look at you, whatever. And they say that come next week, they're going to be a mixed champions, like the mixed gender champions from AAA. So I wonder if we're getting Thea Hale and Joe Hendry versus these two on NXT.
Yeah, I guess so. And I think absolutely strap these two up with these AAA mixed tag titles. I was happy to see Chelsea Green on NXT again, because I thought maybe they were done with this pairing, and it really works for both them. I think they work great together. Just like, man, can Joe Hendry go away?
Here, like, he is in the trash.
Either
Oscar the Grouch.
Evolve. Not. I'm not saying go to Evolve. I'm saying the character needs to evolve, or just go away. This guy was challenging for the NXT Championship. This guy was TNA champion like not so long ago, and now he's just doing these sight gags every week, which I don't find very funny because I saw them 2-3 years ago.
And yeah, like, bless the guy, but it has run its course like a while ago. Like, they've done some funny things with it, don't get me wrong. Him randomly appearing, it's a funny bit, but it has definitely run its course.
But, and this,
now you're forcing it, like
this is lazy though, because it's Thea Hale literally walking past and saying, I believe in Joe Hendry, whereas it's funnier when, you know, the people are complaining and they're like, oh, and then you got that person, Joe Hendry's there and that, and that's when you hit him with it. But like, what? To just say the catchphrase to bring him out, it's fucking lazy.
What would happen if he turned heel? How would you use this character power if he was a bad guy? Like, would he be able to do this as a bad guy, this gimmick? Because I don't know what the evolution of what he has going is. Like, anytime he's done the music character kind of thing in NXT, it was really flat compared to like some of the stuff I've seen from the indies or TNA and stuff. Yeah. Like, he has that talent to do more songs, but they didn't let him necessarily do that in NXT.
Like, big time Baxter in the chat say, I have seen everything I needed to see out of Joe Hendry without him even being signed to NXT. And like, yeah, like if he were to sign at the end of this contract,
where would he go?
Where's he going from this? He's already had a title opportunity. And he's already fallen to just back.
Put him on the main roster. I don't know. Like,
I don't know. I feel it's a Fandango thing, right? Like, it's a fad.
It's definitely like that. And there's so many wrestlers that they can easily coast on it in the whole career and completely make a living off. And that's awesome. Again, bless this dude for what he's done. And we've had some great laughs and moments and stuff, but the jokes have definitely, it's the same thing every week where I'm like, all right, he's literally coming out of the trash can. And it was like, that's what they think of this gimmick now. Yeah. I don't know. But I don't know what else you could do with him at this point, but I'm definitely like, I don't know. It's like when someone sends you a funny thing on Instagram or something, and then like a week later, someone sends you that same thing, but you still heart it. You still click emoji like, haha, LOL. And then like 3 months later, someone sends you the same thing. You're like, fuck's sake. Like, I've seen this thing already.
Yeah.
Except this is every week on NXT. It's like, hey, someone said my name. Okay, yeah. Someone said your name. Good stuff. Just try explaining wrestling to people who don't. Like, okay, so this guy is a guy who's, if you say his name, he appears out of trash cans. This guy's got a puppet lizard. There's all this weird shit going on, but I guess they have their time in the sun. But I don't know, is his time almost up with this bit? Where else can we go? Are we wrong on this? I don't know. Let us know. We go to NXT Women's Championship. Lola Vice taking on the new champion, Tatum Paxley. And this is when they bring up like Izzy being ringside and how Izzy is like, oh, I don't know about this. And then they were also talking about the speed tournament coming back. And I thought, I was confused here because Vic brings up Sol Ruka not letting Zarya defend the speed title.
Yeah.
And Booker's like, yeah, she shouldn't or whatever. And Vic says, oh yeah, well, has Stevie Ray ever defended the television title for you? Like at Bash at the Beach 2000. And Book was like, nah, he didn't. He's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure he did at Bash at the Beach 2000, which is, you know, hot off our Halloween Havoc 2000 review, Davey. I'm very interested. I've watched the
Dark. Yeah.
Dark Side of the Ring on it. So
there's a show in the UK called Mastermind, and it's a trivia show. You have 2 minutes of general knowledge and then 2 minutes of your specialist subject. And so sometimes it's like, my specialist subject is the Blue Jays 92-93 season, or my specialist subject is Coronation Street from 2000 to 2005, stuff like that. On the Celebrity Edition, one of the contestants picked the host as their specialist subject and had just studied everything else there was to know about this host. So he's like, where did I go to school? And she'd answer it and things like that. I feel Vic Joseph has done that with Booker T just to embarrass him at any moment on NXT commentary, where it's like, oh, I shouldn't be defending title for your partner. Well, what about Bash of the Beach 2000 when your brother defended it for you? I love it. And I hope this bit continues.
Like, it's so funny. I love Vic Joseph. We've definitely come to love Vic Joseph. And again, I'll always say what you say about Booker T. I don't always agree with some of the things he says on podcasts or whatever, but on this show, he is as equally as ridiculous as he is hilarious. So I do get a kick out of Booker Bites, as I call them. But yeah, Vic Joseph loves to try to get at him anytime he can. Yeah, wouldn't you like study his Wikipedia up and down?
Oh yeah, like,
to know every little thing so that this guy has, because Book loves to, like, I don't know what necessarily that they have planned or our bits or when they naturally like butt heads, because it does seem like sometimes they don't necessarily get along on certain things. But yeah, Lola Vice versus Tatum Paxley. We see as this match just starts, they start to do some like side chain wrestling. Fatal Influence show up outside in the NXT parking lot, and they come through. They attack Izzy Dame. They get in the ring and they beat up everyone. And JC hits the rolling encore to Tatum Paxley. So, letting it be known, it is not over with JC Jane and Fatal Influence. Jumping the gun here, this match is announced for next week. Fatal Influence versus Lola Vice, Tatum Paxley, and Izzy Dame. We will get a promo from JC later, but yeah, she made it clear she still wants the title back.
Yeah, so unfortunately, didn't get much of a match here. I don't think it's particularly a big surprise.
Sorry, mama.
Especially with it being two baby faces.
Yeah.
But what I do like about this is you've got like this little BC story for Lola Vice where she once again has been screwed out of a title shot, and it's been because of Fatal Influence. So I think when you're ready for her to have another title shot down the line, hopefully against a heel, so you can really root for her and the time is to strap her up, you can go back to all these moments where she could have potentially become the champion, but has been screwed out of it.
She's just always getting screwed by JC Jane.
Yeah.
It's always.
Hello, hello, hello. Davey Portman here from Poison Rana. We cover NXT every Tuesday night on the Post Wrestling feed in a show we call Up Next. But we do so much more. Follow Poison Rana Pod on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts for our live Sunday show, plus our Patreon with movie reviews, retro wrestling reviews, and more. Find out everything at poisonrana.ca.
We cut to that to the new women's North American champion, Blake Monroe, in the bath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about Maybelline. I was like, oh, was something wrong with my Netflix? What am I watching here? Oh, wait, sorry. Maybelline in the bath. Yeah. Try explaining this one to your mom as kids watching wrestling. Try explaining this to your, you know, it was hard enough with SmackDown loading screens.
Hey, try watching it on a full train.
Yeah. Sorry, you had to watch this on a train.
Followed by watching two people fuck in the basement in Halloween Resurrection. The guy's next to me like, what are you doing?
What is this it's guy?
Work. I'm working.
Okay, if he watched your screen long enough, he would see that Michael Myers shows up and he's killing people. But if he's watching your screen, one minute you're watching sweaty dudes wrestle, and then the next minute
a guy's jumping out of the trash. Yeah,
it's some guy jumping out of the trash, and then a lady's in the bath. You're like, wait a second, I've seen this before. Usually I skip these parts, but yeah, okay. So Blake Monroe's in the bath. She says she snatched Soul's soul and pinned her love, Zarya. And I see that beauty can still bleed, and I can take anything and make it mine. She says, anything I want in this life, I can have it. And she says that I will make my first defense in the city that deserves it, and that will be New York City. And she says that my starlight curse will live forever. Yes.
I'm wondering, I'm just noticing Big Time Baxter in the chat going, they had Maybelline on the NXT mat, but they got rid of it because NXT audience is 75% male.
Of course it is.
So, of course, it's wrestling. It's going to be
the biggest goonin show there is in wrestling.
But it's the fact that this Maybelline deal has been, it's every week at the moment. We're name dropping Maybelline. I wonder if the marketing intention is to get these
guys,
any right. dudes watching NXT who happen to have a girlfriend,
yeah.
be like, maybe I'll get a Maybelline. Blake Monroe likes their lipstick or whatever.
Sure. You know, maybe
Petrovic just said that the eyeliner is fantastic.
I wouldn't know that. I know Sephora's good. I know, yeah. they, you know, I know they like that. Sephora's usually the winner, guys. So I don't know. Maybe she's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline. It was last week that was annoying. You know what? I actually think it worked perfectly for a blonde heel bombshell to be like, and I use Maybelline because they pay me, or like, even if she says that, it works because she's a heel, right? I think they could lean into that. It was last week that was so lazy. What was it, Ren talking to Regal Jr.? Yeah, what is the fuck, what does he care about eyeliner? He doesn't wear, if he's Manscaped, sure, because he's got those fucking chops.
I think that was the gag, because he's always talking to him about stuff he doesn't like.
Yeah. And that's why he hung up, because he's like, I don't give a fuck about eyeliner. But Blake Monroe defending in New York at Gold Rush. Who do you think should be the one? Are we going to get a challenger situation or some matches set up for that? AAA, TNA star, maybe?
Blake Monroe at Gold Rush. I'm trying to... Didn't they hint at someone on this?
I don't know. New York? Is there someone from New York? That's...
I can't think. Yeah.
We'll get closer to, I'm sure we'll find that out. But yeah, big defense in Gold Rush. This is when Booker T was randomly talking about being a two-time Hall of Famer. He had just had to remind us.
Yeah.
Twice. That's where he was.
Yeah. Once or twice an episode. He's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm great. I'm fantastic.
I'm a Hall of Famer. We see NXT Anonymous. Javon Evans is on FaceTime with Leon Slater and someone's just creeping on him. Be careful what you say, Javon. And Dark State come in and they say, it's real cute, this little thing you're doing with Leon Slater. But before, because I think he was on the phone and Slater's like, yeah, I got some X Division title stuff, but I am still in on being a tag team partner with you. And this is when Dark State lay out a challenge to Javon next week in a singles match. So it looks like we will be going towards Dark State versus Javon and
absolutely
Leon at Gold Rush or the deadline or whatever. But next week is Saquon Sugars versus Javon Evans one-on-one.
Cool. I'm intrigued because with Saquon not being in the tag team, we haven't seen a great deal of him wrestling. And I don't think we've seen him in a singles match at all. And he's the guy that kind of takes my interest the most when I see him on the screen. Like, I think he's got the most like swag about him. He sounds the smoothest
absolutely
in the promos. So I'm kind of, and Javon can be really fun to watch. So I'm hoping I see something out of Saquon that I haven't necessarily seen out of the group.
I'd say he had the most buzz in the indies. And if I'm not wrong, I'm pretty sure Javon and him maybe have wrestled before as well. But like, I know that he definitely had more of a, like, he's got the interest out of all the members.
Yeah.
I would say. So that does, it definitely interest me. Next week, speed tournament, women's match, and then also Fatal Influence versus Izzy, Lola, and Tatum. We see Sol Ruka and Zarya leaving, and Kelly walks up to ask them something about what's going on. And Zarya says that she will be entering the speed tournament, but they're interrupted by JC Jane shoving them out of the way. And they say that we'll see you next week, and that title is coming back. So. Shoving Zarya out of the way. Maybe we get something out of that too, where JC Jane's just pissing off everyone here. But yeah, maybe that's for another day. But
do you see Zarya winning this title?
I think it would make sense if this was a real title, but it's not. This is like, if titles are props, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't even know if this helps Zarya.
Like, I think in a way it's.
Sure, give it to her.
It could work because then she's winning it for herself and she's not winning it for Sol. And once Sol is, I mean, you get the sense that this Sol injury is being played up for storyline for sure. And it's probably, she'll be back wrestling.
Hopefully.
Soon. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like also you said earlier, like, okay, speed tournament works when these people are fast, like jumping around and stuff, but it also would work if Zarya just spears someone and wins.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like goes on a run like that or a streak or something. So, and then eventually have them face. But it's just unfortunate it's for this title because it would make so much more sense if it was the other way around. But yeah. Anyways, speaking of titles, a different title is on the line. The TNA Knockouts Championship. Kalani Jordan defending against Jordynne Grace. Yes.
It's become AEW, this show, hasn't it? With the amount of, like, we had the Knockouts, the Evolve, the Speed Championship Tournament. Like, there, and none of these are real titles in WWE.
Like, I said this on our Halloween Havoc review when they announced Gold Rush, and they showed I said this as a joke, and we're talking about wrestling, we're being silly here, and I'm not trying to offend, but this Gold Rush show flashes, look, it's gonna have titles defended from Evolve, TNA, AAA, and NXT. I'm like, so this whole show is a show of shows that no one watches or cares about, really. This is the bottom rung of the wrestling shows, I feel like, the of interest. Like, you're gonna have the mixed titles defended on this Gold Rush.
Yeah,
half these people didn't even know those titles existed until they were mentioned on this episode. No. So I guess it's a work, a plan that works, but like, they're they're really like, okay, and then the Evolve, and then the women's. I'm like, oh, man. It does feel like that time when they were doing that on AEW quite a lot, where we've said for the last while, NXT definitely feels like a show where they're just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks. But, yeah, there's a lot going on. But at least we're getting Jordan Grace versus Kalani Jordan here. Kalani Jordan Grace. See what I did there. Knockouts Championship. Vic Joseph with a crazy stat. He says that Jordan Grace has been TNA Knockouts champion longer than Kalani has in-ring time.
Wow.
Which, wow. Okay, well,
that's crazy.
Like, so, like, in-ring time as champion, longer than Kalani's even been wrestling.
That's
a crazy stat. Then he's like, hey, I don't mean disrespect. It's just like Jordan Grace is pretty synonymous with this title, which I would agree with.
Okay, like, but does he mean the, is he talking ring time?
I think he means ring time.
Ring time. He means ring time too. Days.
I don't think he means days, because that would be pretty silly. But like, I think he means ring time.
So. Gotcha.
Yeah. Early, these two start going at it here. They've had a bit of a rivalry, but both are baby faces as far as we're concerned. Kalani hits a Charlotte style clothesline to the outside. You know what I mean when I say Charlotte style. Lands on her feet. She then throws Jordan Grace's knee into the steel steps. A bit of some heel tactic here as we go into break. When we come back, Jordan has been selling the leg, eventually hits the reverse Alabama slam, but continues to like sell that she can't work it. Hits a double A spine buster for a two count. Eventually, Kalani does like the back spring into like the sit out cutter for a near fall. And then Grace almost goes for what looks like Kalani's special here, the one of a kind, but slips and then gets stomped by Kalani here, which looked really nice for a two count. Jordan Grace power bombs Kalani Jordan for a two count here. And then they're fighting up top. There's a Spanish fly. And then Trick and Ricky are just fighting on the entrance ramp. One of my favorite things in wrestling, just random people fighting throughout the place, throughout the show. In all of this kerfuffle, there's a distraction, and this allows Kalani to grab the Knockouts title. And at first she's like, oh no, I can't do this. And she puts it down, but then she picks it up anyways, and then straight up smacks Jordan Grace with this title. The ref didn't see it, counts the 1, 2, 3, and Kalani beats Jordan Grace. I'd say a complete full heel turn now with cheating to beat Jordan Grace, as Trick and Ricky are now fighting, and Ricky spears him through a piece of paper on the perch, and then Ava says 2 weeks, last man standing, as NXT frantically goes off the air.
Yeah, I like these two. I like Kalani and Jordan Grace. This was, you know, the match where you don't really get the match before you do get the match.
Yeah.
Right, like these two, this isn't over. I think it's good now you've solidified the Kalani heel turn. Thought there was some nice stuff in this match. I think we're going to get it on a bigger show, whether it's Gold Rush in a few weeks or whether it's the Deadline pay-per-view. These two should absolutely go back, and this feud should go on for a little bit. I enjoyed it. I don't mind like a screwy finish if it does progress the story, and that's what this did. You know, it didn't feel like a cop-out ending like it maybe did with Tatum and Lola earlier in the night. It didn't feel like a cop-out. It's okay, we're moving forward with Kalani being a pure heel now against babyface Jordan Grace.
I think this is what's been missing from Kalani for a while. Like, I've been saying she needs to turn heel like a year ago, and then finally they've been slowly giving her a little bit of an edge and an attitude, and she's pretty much been a heel for the past little while, but this is the first time like showcasing that. So she learned from the best, right? Very similar to Melo smashing people with titles and turning on people. Okay match. It definitely will lead to a bigger match and a bigger series with the pay-per-view or Gold Rush or whatever. So I didn't necessarily think we got the full-fledged match, but we'll get there with Kalani being a heel. And then kind of going to Trick and Ricky. So in 2 weeks, last man standing match. Still can't stand Ava, but she says last man standing match. And I think this could be Trick's goodbye.
It should be. Like, it absolutely should be. And not my favorite gimmick, but add some bells and whistles. I wasn't a massive fan of their singles match at the weekend. So maybe can get a bit more excitement out of a more gimmicky match. But yeah, this should be Trick's goodbye. We said on Sunday's show, like, he's one of the easier ones to slot into the main roster because you've already got Mello there. So just do that and move forward from there. He'll get over very quickly by just giving him a mic.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel like we should try a Trick on the main roster. Like, okay, wrestling, his matches, he can have some good stuff. He can have just okay stuff. The one on the weekend definitely wasn't anything of a classic, but like, I think the character and his mic work alone, like, he could totally be a character that gets over with audiences. So I kind of hope they at least try with maybe we'll see. I saw the most ridiculous image the other day. Someone said the Jericho Appreciation Society is going to be Santos Escobar. It's going to be Tony D'Angelo, and it's going to be the former champion, NXT, Obafemi. And I was like, oh my God, please, please no. And it's a cursed image that I keep thinking in my head. Because where is Tony D? They haven't tried him on the main roster. What's he been doing?
I know we've seen Jericho have, what, three stables?
But that's
maybe
not WWE,
four stables
though.
In AEW. We haven't seen him with a stable in WWE. So I do like that idea. And maybe Ober as a heater for Jericho. Fuck it. Like, I don't...
Like, yeah, I said he should be TNA
at least,
champion.
At least there's... And I know Jericho maybe of more recently has had more misses than hits. But my complaint with WWE as a whole right now is everything is very generic. Everything's very standard. Everything's refreshed storylines that we've had before. And maybe Jericho could add a bit more creativity and a bit more investment, like trying to get some of these NXT guys over. Otherwise, what? We know what an Obafemi is going to be on the main roster. He's going to come up. He's going to have squash matches. They'll build him up. He'll have a US title run. And then they'll be like, we either push this guy to the moon or he'll fizzle into the mid-card obscurity. So,
yeah,
at least for Jericho, there'd be something there. Same with Tony. I see he's an odd one because I don't know if he kind of retired the Mafia gimmick on NXT. So
I guess.
Do you just bring that back for the main roster? There's a lot of people right now who should be moved up, but this men's division just sucks.
Yeah.
In NXT. So is that why they're holding them back? I really don't know.
I didn't really love Halloween Havoc. I didn't really love this episode of NXT. I think we need some, they've been throwing things at the wall and they have been trying new things, but everything they're trying, the speed tournament, come on. That's not great. Like, try a bit different things. And we do need a refresh of people they focus on. We've seen as soon as they want to focus on someone, you can get them over as a character. In a few short weeks, few short months, Javon Evans was established on NXT. You could do the same thing if you just focus on
them. Done a great job with, you know, Lola in the last pay-per-view cycle with building her. They've done a good job recently with Tatum and building them. Like, you can do it.
There's people I know they just did a new signing of people as well. I don't have the name up with me, but like, sign new people and try new things as soon as possible, because it works when you try. And they're trying with guys like Ridge Holland for a year. They're trying guys now with Jasper Troy. Like, why? Like, get good dudes. Like, no, I don't know. They gotta definitely work some things around, especially with the men's division, because it's Trick. If Trick's out the door, if like Oba's out the door, then like, yeah, I don't know.
Trade Sean Legacy with Jasper Troy. You know,
yeah,
like, we're bringing him over.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Do that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much you could be doing on this show, and
it's
just feels
right.
Like, fuck it,
bring him in. Like, as
absolutely. Like, yeah, properly. It just feels like NXT is definitely not a must watch wrestling show. It's definitely, NXT is definitely for the sickos, I would say, in more ways than one. But like, there's so much stuff that you watch on the show, if you do watch it or you hear us talk about, is like, they can easily focus on someone and make them popular, but they choose to do it and do other things that just end up flopping or end up failing. Like, I'll go back to that Ridge Holland. I'm still angry. They just kept trying. And it's like, it's not good. Like, just keep trying with other people. If it's good, we can go with it. But they continue to go with not good stuff sometimes. And it's like, oh. So is Jasper Troy winning this title? Why would they book that match with Grande?
I think Grande is a bigger deal than this championship, and I don't see him moving permanently to NXT. So
he should drop it. It
will be Jasper Troy. Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. So anyways, that's NXT. NXT will be back next Tuesday, as will we be live. We can't promise a live show this Sunday just because of Blue Jays and World Series and stuff, but do catch us live our normal time next Tuesday. After NXT on Tuesday night, we will be live and we'll be talking all about everything that goes on next week. So catch us here at Post Wrestling and check out all the other stuff, poisonrana.ca or patreon.com/poisonrana. We're on every podcast app you use, or Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky, Facebook. Give us a follow and check out all the other stuff that we do. Our Halloween Havoc 2000 review, Psycho review, and on our free feed, Halloween Resurrection, which as soon as we finish the show, we're going to go record. So trick or treat, smell my feet, have a happy Halloween this weekend, and we'll talk to you very, very soon. But appreciate all the love out there, wherever you are. Take care. Goodbye. Be safe. And go, Jays. Go.
Ahoy!
This month at PostWrestlingCafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. PostWrestlingCafe.com, $6 gets you in the door.